She said I had to do it this time. Since this is the 7th episode, episode number 7. And 7 is 2 dogs minus 1 stick, or a dog and a person plus 1 stick. And Rue says she and I together are most like 7 because she's a little like a person and I'm a little like a dog. Get it? So, Rue! Sing it, Rue. Go, Rue! Okay. Legs are sticks, by the way. That's dog slang. Long-sticked, short-sticked, two-sticked, four-sticked. It's Rue's Doggerland Tales, of course, in episode 6 talked about the party to celebrate Ro and Erf's safe return from the cave lion's hideaway and how they were acting different. Different towards each other. And we're still marching toward understanding how Doggerland itself somehow was invisibly and fatally broken. So that drop by drop the ocean filled its caverns over thousands of years and it floated ever lower until a speeding wall of water finished it off, thus necessitating the great project. So, by order of the great high and humble Dogger, on with the tale. Aroo! Another time, I'll have to tell more about how the dens of the chase in Doggerland were constructed and why they aren't detectable now by the methods people are using to map the sea bottom, because it's certainly worth knowing and thinking about. For now, imagine Ro and Erf trotting through a series of rooms under arched ceilings of interwoven branches, over floors padded with vibrant feathers, spots and stripes, teals and saffrons and oranges and indigos, the predominating colors changing from room to room, and the feathers' depth and quality increasing as the duo moved deeper into the hillsides farther upriver. They had been summoned for a conversation with one of the great noses, Y, who was old but whose considerable size, high delta ears, and polished white canines made a daunting impression on most dogs. Her reputation was even more imposing. To begin with, she was director of works, in charge of Doggerland improvements and maintenance. Under her authority, the subsidiary dens to the north and west were being replanted. Subterranean excavations had expanded the chase's living space by almost 50% in less than 5 years. Earth moving and irrigation works had approximately doubled in volume and area covered. Sapling propagation had increased by leaps and bounds, etc., and so forth. When Ro and Erf entered, she was standing, her tail stretched high and wagging, her mouth shut. A narrow stream cut through the center of her receiving room, several inches below her narrow-striped loon feather mats. Wise eyes told Ro and Erf not to cross to her side of it, but to instead sit on a pair of dry mudstone slabs in which were visible the petrified remains of ancient sea creatures. Spears of morning sunlight fell between the ceiling branches, first angling to the floor, then as the conversation wore on, the thin, brilliant shafts, with hypnotic mists weaving among them, like ghosts, approached a perpendicular with the floor. You would have been nervous, no question. Rue and Wile E, the most recent great high and humble dogger, have introduced me to dogs like Y in my kitchen, dogs big enough to hunt through my highest cupboards for dishes and through my refrigerator, big enough to carry Rue on their backs with paws as long as your feet, capable of leaping onto the roof of a van as it pulls out of a driveway. It's a long story. Another one, I mean. Dogs that give disdainful looks. The noses have asked me to find out where you two have been all this time, she said. Erf and Ro looked at each other stupidly, then back at her. It's hard to believe you were lost all that time. It should be easy to tell me everything that happened, Y continued, unless... Here she looked hard at Ro. Maybe you were injured? Unconscious? Incapacitated? Ro tried to puzzle out whether either he or Urf had been incapacitated. He stared at the rock between his paws and exhaled. Y knew perfectly well neither of those young dogs even understood the word. Did you ever find the lions? She asked. There were two. Did you catch them? Did they pounce on you? Did they pounce on you? She couldn't help giving them a scare by half shouting the word pounce. She told her friends later how she had made them flinch and cringe. Ro thought he saw them, Irv said. Maybe it wasn't them, though. It smelled like them, like cats, said Ro. We both smelled them, heard them too. Ro's right, Irv agreed. We smelled them everywhere down there. Ro recalled, shuddering, at deep scratches in rocks that he had passed, and at how the stone reeked of the cat's urine. But they never attacked? That's interesting. The two of you would have made an easy meal for a pair of lions. More dogs than Y could remember had disappeared from the chase's lands. From time to time, packs found piles of chewed, splintered, disarticulated bones that were unmistakably partial carcasses of dogs who'd gone missing. Only a few months had passed since the last one. A storm had blown a bleached canine skull and ribs off a beech bough that had apparently provided a safe and quiet lunch perch. Probably a pretty good view. They were playing with us, maybe, Ro speculated. They kept telling us, this way, dogs, this way, Urf. Sometimes we could see their eyes. Just once, while the pack was still sort of with us, we thought one of them was attacking us, Urf explained. After that, we never saw any of the other dogs. So they were hurting you. That makes sense. Cats herd, too. To herself, Y added that they also isolate the weak, stupid, and young. We kept going where they told us, Ro said. We didn't know what else to do, said Urf. And then they disappeared and we never saw them again, Ro yawned. Or heard them. Y knew as well as any dog of that age how cats and mysteries go together. They have their ways, she said, not caring to speculate aloud what caprice had led the felines to abandon their game. What did you eat down there? Y stepped closer. First, Ro crouched and rolled onto his back. Then Urf followed suit. For dogs who'd been lost beneath the surface for days, Ro and Urf looked fantastic, verging on chubby, even, as if they'd had access to a round-the-clock, all-you-can-eat buffet at a Yucatan resort. Ro belched involuntarily. Urf could only stare at him. By the looks of it, you found something really tasty. That's a pair of full bellies. Was it bugs? Y stepped even closer and inhaled several times. They smelled like wood, mainly the familiar key odors that clung to dogs who did forestry and digging. Dirt, roots, leaves, fungi, all were mingled in their nose picture. I don't think so. No, not bugs. Ro and Urf didn't know. Really deep down, we chewed on some sticks for a while that tasted sweet, Ro said. But we were still hungry, even though we chewed them for hours and hours. That was all why I got from them that day, because as soon as Ro finished that sentence, several dogs ran through the room, chasing after a rabbit or a squirrel or whatever it was. Why ran after them, furiously barking, and was gone for so long, Ro and Urf just shrugged at each other finally and left. That'll have to be the end of episode 7. Rue objects to letting it get any longer since it's already well beyond the usual length. She says my voice is probably putting you to sleep, and she says it's time we went for a walk so that she can sniff what's on the breezes. On the breezes, by the way, is a phrase she uses all the time, and it means what's new, as in, hey, JP, what's on the breezes? Hey, Rue de la Rue Swanzor, what's on the breezes? She says you're welcome to use it for your own greetings, if you like. Next time, we probably will, almost definitely, maybe for sure, get to the bottom of how Doggerland was compromised and at long last sank. As this whole revelation spins out, I'll be making it ever more accessible on the internet, or through social media and elsewhere. It's on Spotify as of right now, and Pocket Cast, and Anchor, and the process is underway to get it on all the rest of the podcasting sites. Plus, you can find me, I'm John Perry, J. Perry at Chase Dog Project on Twitter, John Perry on Patreon, the Book That Eats People Facebook page and YouTube channel have a good deal of this material and other things having to do with the chase. Also, the great project of the Dogs of the Chase in Exile is on Facebook. And I think that about covers it for the moment. But if you're listening to this, later than mid-March of 2019, check everywhere, because who knows where it'll be. Keep in mind that all this heretofore unknown doggish lore is being brought into the ken of humans by order of the great high and humble dogger, may he rest in peace, while he dead 1 year today, that the raising of Doggerland may be accomplished with your help and blessing. Until episode 8, I'm John Perry with Rue de la Rue Swanzor and Rue's Doggerland Tales. Thanks for listening. Aroo!